Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we praise God once again for coming on the air. We thank God for this opportunity to let God be our judge. Correction, let God be our Father. He sent his only begotten Son who gave his life that we might have a right to the tree of life. And one of the things I want to say to those who are here with us, there's no God like our God. You on there?
Hey, good evening, Dr. Hunter.
Good evening. Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing this wonderful evening?
I'm not going to complain. God is still good.
Yes, he
His
is.
Mercy.
Yes, he is.
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
yes, indeed.
Well, I remember.
On your innocence.
What say?
I said, how is everybody on your end of town?
Everything's going good. Some of the weather has passed, the rain weather's passed on, and the sun is shining today. But I thank God for both the storm and the sun. So we're in a very good place here. And it's amazing, as you were talking, that amidst all the things that's going on in the world and some of the trials and tribulations that we have, it's amazing. My father always said to me sometimes, he says that amidst all that going on, God has not left the throne. That means
he hasn't.
He's in the throne. Amen. He's still on the throne. So nothing is happening without his Father's control. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know your time is on the air, so I thank God for you coming on. Your time, you're
Amen.
The teacher for the hour. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again, Dr. Hunter, for having me on yet again this wonderful evening. And I thank
yes.
God that he has given us the breath of life today. He has given us another opportunity to serve him and to grow closer to him. In this life that he has given us. I say grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and to all those who have were able to have the time to fellowship with us this evening on the radio. I'm going to open from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. And it reads, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know
Amen.
That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, a little bit of background on this portion of scriptures as Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. The churches of Macedonia were collecting an offering for the poverty-stricken believers in Jerusalem. And Apostle Paul was encouraging the church of Corinth in this offering and trying to encourage them to follow through on their gift. And I love it how, as he finishes up in verse 9, how he uses Christ's example of his life and also giving his life as an example of sacrificial gift. And also in this passage of scripture, Paul used the Macedonian churches as an example of giving out of their own pocket. And so, you know, when we talk about giving, you know, in this life, you know, we have provisions, we have resources, things that God has given us, He has blessed us with in our life, and we are given each differently according with God's will. And so we use, you know, the money and those things we need for our needs and wants, for things such as food and, you know, providing for our families. We use it for, you know, movies and different entertainment. We all have different hobbies. So our financial needs and our time, those things seem to be going to be split between our personal needs and wants. And so what we're going to talk about, and it seems like a month ago I was talking about giving, and the Holy Spirit has me back here on giving again. So I believe there's a word here that God wants to emphasize. But what we're going to talk about is not just giving. We're going to talk about sacrificial gifts. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today, sacrificial gifts. So we're going to hit three areas here. We're going to talk, number one, we're going to discuss some of the key points of the opening scripture that we just talked about, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. And then we're going to dive into the importance of giving sacrificially. And we're going to touch a little bit again the differences between stewardship and ownership as it concerns provision and resources, the gifts and the talents that God has given us. So let's first talk a little bit about verses 1 through 2, 2 Corinthians verses 1 through 2. And I'm going to repeat it. And Paul opens up and he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of liberality." Now, a couple points from these first two scriptures. There's some things I just want to highlight. Is, you know, sometimes, you know, we're hindered from giving sacrificially because in a lot of ways we feel like we don't have enough to give. We kind of protect, make sure we have for ourselves, and we tend to say within ourselves, you know what, I want to give to that, but you know what, when God blesses me with more, I have some to give. Okay? We say that sometimes. You know, we don't really have enough, and we don't want to necessarily give out of what we have. And so we'll begin to lead us, you know what, I know I want to tithe, but, you know, I really don't have enough money to tithe. So when God blesses me with more money, then I tithe. Or I know that the church is pushing this collection or a push of people to give for a feeding the hungry ministry. But, you know, we don't have enough money right now. So when God blesses me with more money, then I give. Amen. But what we don't realize is when you really study these portions of scriptures, you know, we're saying to God, give me more and I will give out. But God is repeating back to us, he's saying, give out what you have and I will bless you. You see, God is saying something completely opposite. God expects us to give out of what he's already given us, to show faith in him and give out of what he's already given us. And then in return, God will reward us for our faith in him. And so if God is calling us to give sacrificially, then the question becomes, how do we give sacrificially when we ourselves are enduring hardship? Because sometimes, just like the church in Macedonia and even the believers in Jerusalem, they were dealing with some real deep hardship there. And so that's why Paul was thinking of a connection for them through the other churches. And Titus was going around, and he was collecting this stuff up. And so he had to send a letter to the church of Corinth and said, look, try to encourage them. That I know that you got things going on, but here's an example of a church that really didn't have a lot, but gave out of their, what's the word he used? In verse 2, he says that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of liberality. And so Paul's talking about, you know, they still found a way not only to give through what they had out of their deep poverty, but the key is they did it with joy. You see what I'm saying? So there's two parts. There's two parts. Amen. And so, again, how do we give sacrificially when we, because, you know, a lot of us are going through things. You know, we got issues with our cars. We got stuff going on with our kids that maybe taking money out of our household. We got things, you know, it seems like in some cases, some of us are having more financial hardships than most, depends on the season that we're in. But God's word and expectation, believers, does not change regardless of our circumstances. He still calls us to take what we have and give out of what we have. And so how are we able to give sacrificially even though we ourselves are enduring hardship? Well, number one, how we do that is noted in verse 1. How we're able to do that is we give by the grace of God. By the grace of God. That's how we are able to give. Again, verse 1 says, moreover, brother, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. They gave because they had the grace of God on them to give. In other words, we can't do anything without Christ. You know, we don't have time to get into it, but this is going, again, going back to what Jesus told the parable of the vine, that he is the vine and we are the branches, and without him we can do nothing. So, amen. So the first thing we have to do is purpose in our heart to want to give out of what we have and then look on Jesus Christ. And through his grace, we are able to give what we purpose in our heart to give. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And so, amen. And how is Jesus able to give the grace that we need so that we can give? We have to remember that Jesus Christ is our advocate before the Father. So we can ask for the grace when we need it. We can come to him when we need it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Amen. So when we have a time of need, when we need help in doing something, because of what Jesus has done, because he stands before the Father, we can come boldly and ask for the grace we need, so that, man, we may be accomplishing the things that God has put on our heart. In other words, it's only through God's grace that the church of Macedonia empowered by the joy in Jesus Christ, they were able to look past their personal hardship so that they could focus on the kingdom work and take care of the needs of us. You see, as long as we're looking at our own personal needs and looking at our earthly things going on and we focus inward, we'll never see the needs of us. But when we look upon Christ, he helps us to stop looking at these earthly things and focus on him and make it about him. And what happens is when we look at him, we then exchange our earthly mind for a heavenly-minded focus. And we start seeing things God's way in our life. And what happens is, it's all a part of, again, Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. Amen. And so what happens is that when we're trying to give sacrificially in our life, we have to look upon Christ. And when we do, we are given that grace and empowered with joy to give out of what
Amen.
We have. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 9, Again, in the opening scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." You see, God sets the example of how to give sacrificially, how to give of ourselves. You see, the God we serve, he don't give us secondhand stuff. He doesn't pick for us from the reduced aisle. He don't send referred stuff along our way. He gives us his best. And not only does he give us best, but he gave of himself. You know, John 3:16, "And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we may have life." Jesus didn't come and just teach the right way of doing things and then go up to heaven and say, "Okay, I taught y'all, y'all got it." No, he came and he got on the cross where you and I belong. He gave up himself so that we may have life, but he also set the example of how we should give of ourselves and give of what we have for the needs of us. Okay? He gave sacrificial life for us. So by faith in what he has done, okay, by faith, listen to this, by faith, this is how we do it. Because by faith we focus on what he has done for us, then we can have joy in giving sacrificially because of what he did for us. See, that's why our joy comes. Our joy comes because when we look at him, we remember what he has done for us. We remember that he gave it all for us. He took no notice. He didn't have all these thoughts or whatever we have. Well, maybe no. He gave of himself. He gave his life. And so that's where our joy comes from. And that was how the Church of Macedonia was able to have that joy in giving sacrificially. So we've been talking about sacrificial giving. So let's define again, because we kind of touched on, I think you get the picture, but let's talk about what is giving sacrificially. What is it? Okay. It means to give out what we set aside for ourselves. Amen. Let's say that one more time. Sacrificial giving means that we give of ourselves. We give out what we have set for ourselves. To give sacrificially, it must cost us something. Amen. Let's say that one more time, because somebody needs to hear it again. To give sacrificially, it must cost us something. See, it's easy to give when we have an abundance of something, and we suffer no loss. But when we give sacrificially, it must cost us something, and there's inconvenience in giving sacrificially of ourselves. It must cost us something. I had a powerful man of God that was our pastor in Germany. He used to always tell us all the time that love is not of the convenience. It's what he used to always say. Amen. Because, see, when we have things going in our family, the people close to us, we move heaven and earth to make sure our mother or our child or our spouse has. We'll go through all inconveniences. All inconveniences. But the Bible says, Jesus says, love thy neighbor as thyself. He does not break the line there as a family that I should love another woman in church as much as I love my mother. I should be willing to sacrifice and give for another child in my church just as if that child is my own. Amen. And so we just need to remember that when we talk about sacrificial giving, Jesus doesn't divide between our families, doesn't divide between races. God is no respecter of person. And so we just need to remember that when we are being led by the Holy Spirit to give, okay? And remember, when we're not giving, there's nothing wrong with giving out of our abundance. That's not what I'm saying. That some God blesses and we just give out. There's nothing wrong with that. But to give sacrificially, it should cost us something. And it's not just that it costs us something, but it's what we get in return when we give sacrificially. See, when we give out our abundance, that requires no faith in God. None. You see, but when we give sacrificially, what we're saying is, God, I trust you that I want to know that I love you to do this, but I know that you're going to take care of our needs. Jesus gives the best example, and he's teaching his disciples and the multitude, the best example of what giving sacrificially really is. and how God really is pleased when we give sacrificial, that he considers that when we give sacrificial, we're giving more, even though it seems like some that are giving a whole lot are giving more. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And it says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people were putting money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a cover. So he called the disciples to himself, and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Amen. She gave sacrifice. She drove out of what she had set aside for herself. And she is blessed. And we are blessed. We are blessed when we do so as well. And we sometimes Amen. Need to be reminded. I talked about this about a month ago, the difference between stewardship and ownership. We talked a little bit about that. You know, sometimes, again, God gives us, you know, all these provisions and different things and what in our life. And then, of course, God expects us to tithe and offer. And so we generally get 10% or more, we land for tithe, and then we have offers and different things that come up. And so we're expected to give out a portion of what it gives. And sometimes what tends to happen is we begin to take a ownership position over the things we have. Mm-hmm. And then that can lead us down a different path. Amen. We begin to take this ownership. This is my house. This is my this and that. And don't get me wrong. God blesses us with those things. But we need to remember as believers, another thing that helps us to give sacrificially is our heavenly amount of perspective. And the word tells us that we are stewards. We are stewards of everything we have. And God is owner of everything we have. In other words, so let's talk about what is a steward. A steward is a person who acts as a servant of another, especially like for the manager of property, financial matters in a state. So a steward is someone who has been given control and authority over a certain measure of responsibility and provisions, and they tend to speak for the person who actually owns it. And a good steward is someone that when they speak and they make decisions in the managing of things that they give it to them, they do so in line with the one who actually owns what they have responsibility over. Let's say that one more time. Yes. They make decisions that align with the owner whom actually the property is owned to. Like, for example, we know that Joseph was a steward of a Potiphar's house. You want to know more about that? You can go to Genesis chapter 39, and you can really read about Joseph and how he was given control and responsibility over Potiphar's house and everything in it. And so we just need to remember, with that being said, God does give us the freedom to decide how we should spend and manage the provisions that he gives us. And again, that freedom sometimes gives us the feeling of ownership, but we need to remember, again, as we start to go down this path and we start saying, yes, God, you know, we start sacrificially giving out of things we have, whether, again, giving is not just financial. Sometimes giving is our time and our gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given us. You know, sometimes it is always about money, but sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and, you know, and we, if somebody comes and tells us they're going through something, then they need prayer. And a lot of times we just say with our lips, I'm going to pray for you, but we never take the time to pray. But sometimes the sacrificial giving is not doing what we plan for ourselves and go in a room, close the door, and get on our knees and pray. And in some cases, maybe break some plates. Maybe we fast and pray for someone so they can have delivery. But that takes giving of ourselves, letting go of something, so the way someone else can have and have victory in something. And so we need to remember, it's not just money. It's sometimes it's our time and it's our talent. And remember, everything we have and we are belongs to God. Second Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 11, sums this position up. Very popular scripture. It says, "Yours, O Lord, is the grace, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and earth is yours." Let's read that again. It says, "For all," it didn't say some, it says, "For all that is in heaven and earth is yours." Everything we have, including who we are, in the very air that we breathe, belongs to God. Everything we have. And so we just need to remember that when we are serving people, it's not about us, it's about God. And as the Holy Spirit leads us to give, whether it's out of our abundance, because sometimes it's out of our abundance. God's not asking us to always give sacrificial, but sometimes he is. And when we do, we can't just give because, you know, we know the Bible tells about giving grudgingly. We have to give with joy. In order to give in the right way, just like the church of Macedonia did, what Paul was talking about, we need to look on Christ so we can have that joy. So we can have that joy. Okay. A few closing points as we close out. The primary reason God blesses us with provision time is not necessary for us to store up, stockpile, and only bless ourselves. Amen. He has a kingdom that we are required to sow into. Too many times we get caught up in worldliness and trying to store up ourselves and save it for a rainy day, retirement, so that we can live comfortably in our life. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with us ensuring our own finance security. But this should never be put over. This should never be valued more than obeying God by sowing into the kingdom with the monies and gifts and time that he has given us. Why? Because God does not treat us that way. He is rich towards us. He has expressed the abundance of his grace by giving us his only son who gave his life sacrificially for us. Amen. God is rich toward us, so he expects us to be rich towards him. And why is that? Because, again, he gave us life. We are accountable to him. And see, some people struggle with that. They think that just we get there and go do our own thing. No, we are accountable to our maker. We are accountable to him, not to ourselves and our own agenda for our life. Our own agenda for our life. The best way to sum this whole perspective up about being rich towards God, Jesus tells a parable of the rich fool. That's what he says, and I'm going to close with this scripture. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crop?" Amen. So he said,
amen,
"I will do more. I will pull down my barn and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose are these things which you have provided? So is he who lays treasure for himself and is not rich toward God."
My
I heard God. Somebody say, spoke to me and said, my wife shared with me a comment that was made on Facebook, and a guy said that God is anti-wealth. And it became very apparent to me that this young man does not read his Bible. Because if that's the case, then don't toss out Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob right now. because they were very wealthy men. The whole time God chose, they were very wealthy men, very blessed by God. And we forget that most of all the apostles were businessmen. Amen. And so God is not anti-wealth. You know, God, we have to have businessmen. We have to have people that God has blessed that way, because God has his faith in every area of life in the sea. Amen. However, with the talents that God has given us, he expects us to take those things and not only be rich towards him, but produce a kingdom harvest double of what he has given us. What he has given us. And he wants us to be rich towards him, and the way to be rich toward him is to sow in the kingdom. It's to give out, to bless others, because he has blessed us. And when we give sacrificially, and we do so with joy, we are blessed by God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and we thank God for the word you gave. It was a blessing poured out from your heart. We want to know that God is still able. Amen?
Lord.
Amen. Let's see here. Dr. Nussmeyer, y'all.
Glory to God. How are you doing, Dr. Hunter?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I tell you, man, I tell you, God is the only true living God, and he's so wonderful.
He is indeed. He is indeed. Praise his holy name.
Yes.
Amen.
I tell you, each day, Dr. Hunter gets better and better.
Every day, moment by moment.
Yes.
Amen. But this is my word to you, the audience, thank you for listening. Design needed to a table tonight?
Sir, what did you say, Dr. Hunter?
I said, do you have a word from the Lord?
Yes,
so
sir.
Can come to the table and have joy in the Lord.
Yes, sir, I sure do. Glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I thank all those who are with us. And I pray that God just ministers to your heart, speaks to your heart. My message today is God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. The scripture says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. That word new in the Hebrew is chadash, chadash. And it means something that's not previously existing, something not previously existing. It also means something that's renewed or rebuilt. It means something fresh. So Yahweh is saying, get ready. Because he's getting ready to do a new thing. And matter of fact, he's not getting ready, I take that back, to do a new thing. Right now, he's doing a new thing. Presently. The scripture says, behold, that means pay attention right now. Behold, I will do a new thing. He says, now it shall spring forth. Present tense. So he's doing a new thing right now. He says, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God told me to tell everyone that's listening, he's doing a new thing. That word new in the Hebrew is chadash, and it means something not previously existing. He's doing a new thing right before our very eyes. I tell you, and that's good news. I don't know about to you. That's good news to me. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll see that not only is God doing a new thing, but he's doing some new things. Put an S on the end of that. He's doing some new things, and he's doing it right now. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God is in the blessing business.
Yes, he is.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. But as it is written, good God Almighty, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, of man the things, underline that in your Bible, the things. So not only is God doing a new thing, but he's doing some new what? Things. Look what he says right here. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Yahweh has some things prepared for you, Dr. Hunter. Yahweh has some things prepared for those who are listening right now. Sister, brother, God has some things prepared for you. That's present tense. He has some things prepared for you right now that your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard, neither has your heart even imagined. Those are the things, T-H-I-N-G-S, the things that God has prepared for you that love him. Now look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That dream that God has shown you something. He's shown you something beautiful, and it seems like it's just hard to believe. But God has a thing that's prepared for you, and he said, I'll show you through by my Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in you. God will give you a dream. God will give you a prophecy. He'll make known to you what's about to take place in your life. Good God Almighty. The Holy Spirit reveals to you. Has Yahweh ever shown you something in a dream, and surely it came to pass?
Yes.
He shows you a thing first. God shows you a thing first, and then he brings it to pass. Has God ever given you a dream, and that dream came to pass? You see, that was the Holy Spirit showing you. The Holy Spirit shows us of things, Dr. Hunter, of things to come. Good God Almighty. He shows us of things to come. The scripture says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, he shows us, he's in us, he lives in you. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, lives on the inside of you, and he will reveal things to you to come. The message is God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing, and he's doing it presently right now. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. I got excited when God gave me this message. The day after God gave me this message, he confirmed it. I went to get some DVDs made because, you know, I send through the mail DVDs all around the United States. I send DVDs out. People have requested teachings of the broadcast, and I send them out, Dr. Hunter. So I went to the place where I usually get these DVDs duplicated. And this is the day after God gave me this message. God's doing a new thing. Now, it's always been a great desire of mine to be really close to my father in the faith, which is Bishop Ivy Hilliard. That's been a desire of mine ever since God showed me that in a dream. But I've been serving him faithfully, and you know what, I talk to him from time to time, but I'm not as close to him as some of his other spiritual sons of the faith, in the faith, and that's a desire of mine. The day after I gave this message, God's doing a new thing. I'm part of an organization called AIM, Association of Independent Ministries. There's about 1,000 pastors or more in it, a little bit over 1,000 pastors in it. Bishop I.V. Hilliard, he's over that. He's over AIM. Well, anyway, I went to the place to get my duplications made of the DVD so I could mail out, and I opened the door and went in, and I saw one of his close sons in the ministry that even sat in with Bishop Hilliard and Pastor Bridget and do their television program, Max Life TV sometimes, that comes on the Word Network. Well, he was in there getting some DVDs printed up, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm an AIM brother, and Pastor Bamberg, that's his name, Pastor Bamberg. This is a testimony, not a testifony. Pastor Bamberg, and he's real close with Bishop I.V. Hilliard. I tell you, real close. He does the TV program with Bishop Hilliard and Pastor Bridget sometimes. And they're real close, and we got to talking. And I told him that I had been in AIM for over 12 years, going on 13 years, and all that. But we had never got to really talk to one another during the meetings, the AIM meetings, because there's over 1,000 pastors that's in AIM. Well, we began to talk, and he said, I shared with him that I'm from Austin. And he said, "Oh, you are?" He said, "What brought you here, work?" And I said, "Oh, no, not quite." I told him my testimony. I came here in a stolen vehicle to sell it here in Houston and pick up dope and go back to Austin. I began to share the testimony, and his ears perked up, and he was really paying attention. And he said, "That's awesome." He said, "That's awesome." He said, "You know, it's one thing to hear the testimonies in the Bible about the miracles and the mighty works of Yahweh." He said, "But it's another thing to hear a real life today testimony like that." And he began to encourage me and tell me how it affected him in a good way, and it blessed him. And even the woman who was getting ready, you know, were taking care of us to get our DVDs made. Well, anyway, he left, and we exchanged information. And a few minutes after he had left, my phone rung, Dr. Hunter. My phone rung. I picked it up, and guess who it was? It was Pastor Bamberg. He has a large church. He has a large church, been in the ministry for quite some time. He's real close with Bishop Hilliard, one of his close sons. And he said, "This is Pastor Bamberg." I said, "Hey, hello, Pastor Bamberg." You know, I was excited to meet him. You know what? He's a great man of God. God has really blessed him. Mm-hmm. Well, he said he was having an event at his church, and he invited me to speak at an event at his church. Glory to God. You see, what I'm saying, God confirmed his word that he is doing a new thing. He's going to do things for you who all are listening. He's going to do things in your life that you've never heard, you've never imagined in your heart, you've never seen. God's going to do something that's not previously existed before in your life. It's a new day, and God is getting ready to do something new, a new thing, a chadash, which means a new thing for you. Glory to God. God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. So I'm so excited. Amen. I see God at work. I shared it with my wife. She said, "That's awesome." Oh, that's awesome, and congratulations. That's a big thing. This is a big thing. I said, glory to God. She said, "God's raising you up. He's promoting you." And you know what? I didn't even know that he did a business there. I had never seen him there. He said, "I've never seen you, never gotten to really talk to you." I said, "I know, it's over 1,000 pastors, and you know." And he said, "You know what? Bishop Hilliard gets work done here also." I said, "What?" I didn't even know that Bishop gets work done at the same place I've been getting my DVDs printed up, duplicated. I said, "Look at God. Look at God putting things together and putting people together." I said, "Look at God. You don't have to try to force anything. You don't have to try to fabricate anything. Just hold your course. Hold your course. God will set up things for you in your life. Glory to God. God,
amen.
Dr. Hunter, is doing a new thing. Look
a
at Isaiah
thing.
Chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Go to the left. Isaiah chapter 42. And look at verse 9. Isaiah 42, verse 9. The scripture says, behold, the former things are come to pass. They're in the past.
Yes.
So leave the past in the past. Behold, the former things are come to pass. Good God Almighty. Look right here now. And new things do I declare. Glory
amen.
To God. Yahweh said, and new things do I declare. You see, God declares a thing before to make it manifest, to make it appear. That word declare means to manifest. Well, how does Yahweh manifest things? By his words. He declares
words.
A thing. He declares a thing, and it manifests. It appears. Good God Almighty. And he said, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So Yahweh tells us what's going to happen before it happens.
Hallelujah.
He tells us what's going to happen before it happens. Now, Yahweh, all those who are listening throughout the world, Yahweh is telling you that he's doing a new thing. And you can take that to the bank. He's telling you of a thing before it happens. That's the way he operates. That's the way he
Amen.
Operates. He tells you first. Man, he don't tell us anything. He don't tell us anything until he tells it to the prophet first, the Bible says.
That's it.
The prophet comes and declares it, and it comes to pass. God is doing a new thing. Now, what do we need to do to possess these new things? What do we need to do to possess these new things that God has for you? What do we need to do? Number one, you saw over there in Isaiah 43, he said in verse 18, he starts off by saying, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. In other words, we got to forget how we used to do things. Forget how you used to do things in the past. God's doing a new thing.
A new thing.
In order to possess what God has for us right now, we can't do things the old way. Good God Almighty.
No.
We got to forget how we used to do things. You might have did it a certain way back then, but in this season right now, doing it that old way is not going to work.
Ain't going to work.
So that's why in Isaiah 43, verse 18, Yahweh says, remember ye not the former things, how you used to do things. One scripture says over in Luke chapter 5, verse 37 and 38, the scripture says, Dr. Hunter, Yeshua said, you can't put new wine into old wine skins. Because
can't
if you put the new wine over into the old wine skins, it's going to burst. When the new wine begins to ferment, it's going to burst the old wine skin. So what Yeshua is saying, you can't bring your old way of doing things over into this new season. It's not going to work. You can't put new wine into old wine skin. In other words, Yahweh is saying, you leave the past and how you used to do things in the past. It's a new day. It's a new season, and I'm doing a new thing, so you got to forget how you used to do things. Good God Almighty.
Yes.
How to possess these new things that God has for you. Number one, you're going to have to forget how you used to do things. Look at Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. I pray that those are taking notes, or you can come back and listen to it again over on the archives, because there's an archives, and I pray that you internalize this word, because this is a prophetic word. I'm not just saying
Amen.
It. I just didn't make it up. It's a prophetic word, and God confirmed it in my life the day after I brought the message. Look at Proverbs chapter 26, and look at verse 11. The scripture says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. God is saying, if you return to your old way of doing things, you're a fool. You're like a dog returning to his vomit. You can't try to do things the way you used to do in this new season. This is a new day. This is a new season. And Yahweh is saying, forget the way you used to do things. Listen to how I'm telling you to do things right now. God's doing a new thing. To possess these new things that God has for you, number one, you got to forget how you used to do things. Number two, you got to see it to get it. Good God Almighty. You got to see it to get it. In the kingdom of Yahweh, you got to see it before you can get it. I'm going to back it up in the word now. You got to see it to get it. Now, you got to see it to get it. Now, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. You got to see it to get it. Isaiah 43, go back to Isaiah 43 and look at verse 19. He says, Yahweh says, behold, I will do a new thing, something that never, that previously didn't exist before. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. He says, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Now that word know right there in the Hebrew, that word know is yada. Now I know that there's a word that's yada that talks about praise. But in this scripture right here, that word yada, it doesn't mean praise. It's not talking about praise. That Hebrew word yada right here in this scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 19, it means to see. It means to see, yes. To perceive. It means to see. Yada. It means to perceive. And so he said, I'm doing a new thing. He says, shall you not what? See it. Shall you not perceive it? See, a lot of people are going to miss out on the new thing that God is doing because they can't what? See it. They don't perceive what God is doing right in their midst. Good God Almighty. Oh, glory to God. You can miss a thing if you're not paying attention to Yahweh. You can miss a season of what he's doing if you're not paying attention to Yahweh. I'm telling you now, in order to possess the new things that Yahweh has for you, you got to see it to get it. You got to see it to get it. Let me back it up in the scripture. Go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Oh, Dr. Hunter, you know I did my homework. I did my homework. I'm not just saying something and putting it together. I did my homework. Go to Joshua chapter 6. The new things that Yahweh has prepared for us, and I tell you there are some dynamite things, but you're going to have to see it. You're going to have to see it. You're going to have to perceive it. You're going to have to see it with your imagination. You're going to have to see it in your imagination, in your spirit. You got to see it before you can get it. Let me show you that. I'll back it up in the word. Look at Joshua chapter 6, and look at verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. I tell you, that Jericho wall, it was so thick and so big and so large. It was thick. They used to have chariot races on the top of that wall. It was a huge wall because they had great possessions over there inside the city of Jericho. Anytime you put a wall so thick that you can have chariot races up on the top of it, they're trying to protect some valuables. The king was over there. And they had an army, a great army of great men of valor. All that was over there, the gold, the silver, the diamonds, all that was over there inside of the city of Jericho. It was a heathen city. It was a heathen city, that Jericho. They weren't worshiping Yahweh. They weren't worshiping the only true living God. And now look, this city was shut up. No one went in and no one came out. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what did he say? What did he say, Dr. Honey? He said, see. Good God Almighty. See what? He says, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. He said, Yahweh said, Joshua, I've given you Jericho, but you got to what? See it. You got to see that I've given Jericho to you already. Glory to God. He said, Joshua, I've given you the king. I'm giving you the mighty men of valor. I'm giving you all the gold, the silver, the diamond, the people, everything over in Jericho. You got to see I've given it to you. You see, in order to get from Yahweh, you got to see it first in order to get it. You got to see it. To get it. And so Yahweh said, I want you to march around the wall. I want you to blow the trumpet. I want you to make a great shout after you've marched around in 7 days. And they did all those. They carried out all those instructions. And the Bible says, Dr. Hunter, that the wall fell down flat. A wall that was so thick that they had chariot races on the top of it. It fell down flat after all of the Israel did what Yahweh told them to do. How did they get Jericho? They saw it already given to them. You got to see it to get it.
Amen.
To possess these new things in this new season that Yahweh has for you, number one, you got to forget how you used to do things. And number two, you got to see it to get it.
Yeah.
You got to see it to get it. You got to perceive. You got to perceive in your spirit in order to get it. Now, that word see in the Hebrew right there in that scripture is ra'ah. It's ra'ah in Hebrew. And it means the same thing as yada. In Isaiah 43:19, that word no, yada, it means the same thing. It means to see. It means to perceive. In order to possess all the new things that Yahweh has for you all who are listening in this season, in order to get it in your little hot hands, number one, you have to forget your old way of doing things. And number two, you got to see it in your imagination. You got to see it to get it. You gotta, if you're sick, you gotta see yourself getting up out of that hospital bed. Oh yeah, if you're poor, you gotta see yourself walking in abundance and being rich. You gotta see yourself prospering and being successful. You gotta see yourself winning souls. A wise man wins souls. You gotta see it in your imagination to get it. You gotta see it to get it. Yada. And my third and my final point, can I finish this third and final point?
Go ahead.
My third and final point is you got to say it to get it. You got to say it to get it. You got to open up your mouth. Not only do you have to see it to get it, but you got to say it to get it. We have been created in the image of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us to be imitators of Yahweh as dear children. Be copy Yahweh. Copy God. Well, how did God create everything in the universe? He said, let there be light over in Genesis 1, and there was light. He said, let there be fruit and vegetation, and there was fruit and vegetation. He said. Over in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Yeshua said, you shall have whatsoever you say it. Over in Proverbs, the scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You see, you've got to say it to get it. God will manifest things by us declaring them, by us speaking them into existence, by us opening up our mouth and saying it. I tell you, it's a new season, and God has new things for you. He's doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. He's doing new things for you in your life. But in order for you to possess them, you're going to have to forget how you used to do things. You're going to have to say it, see it, to get it in your imagination, and you're going to have to say it to get it. And I'm out of time.
Well, praise the living God. Glory to God. Woo! I know I'm going to go back and get that I'm going to go down and listen to it again and again and again. The last time
glory
in my
to
life
God.
Was, you got to say it.
You got to say it.
I'm rich. I'm healthy. I know I am. I know who I am. I know what I am. God has told me by his word.
That's right.
You got to see it,
Dr. Hunter. You know what, Dr. Hunter? During the NFL championship game, what is it called? During those great events, what's that, the Super Bowl?
Uh-huh.
During the Super Bowl, some of these big companies, they pay millions of dollars to get a commercial spot. They spend millions of dollars for just a 30-second commercial spot. Why? Because they want you to see their product. Because they know if you see it enough, you're going to go out and get it. If you see that box of Captain Crunch on that commercial, he knows that when you want some cereal, you go up in the store, Captain Crunch is going to be on your mind. You're going to see it, and you're going to get it. That's why they spend all this money on these commercials, because they know if they can get us to see these commercials of the product, they know we're going to go out and get them.
Yes.
And so that's
because
the way it is in the kingdom of God. God says if you see it, you're going to get it.
Woo, Jesus. Well, I pray, God, that it all works together, and I know God has given you great insight. He's bringing some things. He's downloading to you. And I'm sitting there rejoicing and just saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To God be the glory. Because hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Many times, hallelujah. All he wants to do, all Yeshua wants to do is say, I am your Father.
Yes.
And beside me, there's none other.
Yes.
Ain't gonna create another one?
Yeah.
Ain't no other gonna create.
Hallelujah.
See, there are a lot of things, like you said, there are a lot of things that we need. What we see, we need to see. See, I tell people all the time, they say, well, you gonna get you a new car? I said, no, I have a new car. Why, where? I said, I ain't picked it up yet. What is that? And I said, that ain't your business.
That's it. It's going to happen in time.
In time. They said, oh, that's what you're going to talk about. No, I've been telling you about it.
Yeah.
See, I believe what God has said through tonight, Apostle. The greatness that God wants to do to us, God's doing a new thing. He don't want to look back what we used to do 60 years ago.
No, he don't want to do that.
It's a principle you can apply, but you don't put them there because we're living in a new time, a new attitude.
Sir. Yes.
I mean, we got children right now working computers before we can even spit them out. They were, well, that's printed.
Yeah.
And so we got to stay abreast to the spirit of the living God. And
that's
God
right.
can do anything. He can do it.
Yes,
he
sir.
Can do it.
That's right.
He can do it.
Yes, sir.
So I'm just happy. I know that something else God's going to do for the two of us. And like today when I got my hands on, I've been beside myself.
Yes,
I
sir.
Said, well, Lord, you know you're going to do it. He said, I've done it. Be patient. He'll come to pay.
Yes,
said,
sir.
Okay, Lord.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We have Sister Monica coming
God.
On now. Amen. Monica?
Yes, Dr. Hannah. How
amen.
You doing,
Dr.
God bless you. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. I just want to start off with saying a simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, I come to you underneath the blood of Jesus, thanking you for another day. Thank you for a roof over my head, my health and my strength. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father God, I'm not in jail. I'm not in prison. I'm not in the courthouse for any negative reasons. I'm not incompetent. I'm not laying on my back at a hospital. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you, dear Heavenly Father God, for you sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for Monica Hensley's sins, to the 1,000 power, John the Pharaoh, the Bank of Poverty, the bus, the licks, and generational curses in my life, and for whoever is listening, underneath your blood, Jesus, please give Dr. Hahn and all the guests and me your guidance, your wisdom, your anointing, your favor to know how to interpret your word for this evening, how to save souls, capture souls, then go out and get more souls for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, so, Dr. I finished up my thesis and everything, and in the midst of me doing my thesis, my 15,000-word thesis, I had a lot of licks coming towards me, but, you know, just like Dr. Wright was saying, don't expect to do things for God and don't, you know, and Lucifer is not going to retaliate on you, but you have to persevere on. That's where a higher intimacy with Jesus Christ comes in at. And I said, yes, yes, yes. He wants that intimacy with him more of it and more in the Bible. And so therefore, he has been really stretching me, and I stretch myself without me having to get the licks. And then when I come, you know, I mean, just like I walk on the sidewalk, I just keep on going. I got my blessings and everything. I had this lady that wants to license me for this and license me for that because she really sees my passion that I have for the Bible. And all the time I've been having my prison ministry, I've been writing to people there and been paying them for like their gifts and their talents for doing poetry. And I told them that it has to be about God and about wisdom because
Amen. Whatever
you have in life, if you don't have the wisdom to know how to do it, your money, a fool and his money, is soon to part. And you're going to need God.
Amen.
Because you're going to need that discernment. You're going to need a hedge of protection over you. And if you see with Enron, see, your attorney can keep you out of jail.
Yes.
But your attorney can't keep you out of hell.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, therefore, and a lot of times as I write the inmates in prison, I talk to them about how God will bring something in people and make sure that it is nationwide known, that you won't miss it. Whether it's through conversation, through radio, through the paper, you're going to get this attention that I want you to know that I don't care how educated you are, I don't care who you are in this world, you're going to do things my way and you're going to glorify my name. And I told them about the people that are millionaires up there, but they didn't do it with God. And then you see what has happened with real estate. You see what has happened with Enron. And, you know, and I told them that's the realities of life. But what you do for God will last forever. His word will not come back void. His people are never begging for bread. You know, someone would say, well, you seem like you have help from everywhere. I said, that was God doing that. It was nobody but him.
Mine.
I've been walking with these people, and I tell them, you pray. You get in the Bible, you take one scripture all week long and you memorize it. And you learn it, and you embed it in your heart, that it really gets into your mind. And silence, I move your lips to say it, you know, when you have a long time. And I know that you're never really left alone there. People are always in constantly bothering you. But God can make things happen for you.
Yes, he can.
He can do it. And I was really intrigued, you know, with your dreams and your aspirations. And I said, oh, well, we're going to take this one split second at a time and see how God's going to bless it. And I have been enjoying the journey. Now, underneath the blood of Jesus, I'll be marching with my master's degree, May the 31st, going into my doctoral degree, in the higher level of knowing about the people in the Bible. They're the same people as today. And as I did my ministry, and I was ministering to people, one of them said, this is a generational curse. And I said, but you have to realize it. Because my prayers with you and Jesus, they're like ashes. Okay? He wants intimacy. He wants one-on-one, okay, just like a husband and a wife team. And if you are the man of the house, then you take authority over it. And when I minister to these men in places where scorpions are, well, because God can use me to go there, he made up his mind that he was not going to do the generational curse that his father did. I said, you put your foot down, and that's what you do. You tell that devil, you show that devil. Don't tell him to show him. You're going to be faithful to your wife. You're going to pay your bills on time. You're going to do this, you're going to do that. You're not going to talk about it. You're going to be about it.
Amen.
I tell everybody, I say, you got to talk your way into it. You got to say it 15 times a day. You talk your way into it. You stay away from those negative people because, yes, there are positive people out here in this world, but for some strange reason, they don't want to reach back and grab people. You don't need everybody. You just need a somebody.
My God.
And don't be worried about being in the crowd, okay? Because a lot of times, God wants to take you and put you on a shelf. Okay, and just keep you there. He wants you to get in that word to where you're hungry for him, to where materialistic things does not matter. You're going to preach his word regardless of your popularity. You're going to preach his word regardless if he blesses you, regardless of how he blesses you. You're not going to question your blessings. You're just going to be appreciative of them. So.
Amen, amen. To God be the glory.
Yes.
Amen. Well, you got an audience out there. What else you gonna say to them?
Basically, I just want to share with them about the goodness of God and how I've been able to reach back and get these souls of people that were in prison to keep them from making, doing a recycle.
Okay.
Teaching them why they're there, why they are complacent there, how to break generational curses.
Okay.
And I tell them,
Do you tell them how to break the curses?
I tell them it's easy and it's for free and it's called the Bible and prayer.
Okay.
And over the last 2-3 years that I have been writing them, some have been in college. Some of them want to write their own books. I mean, I get so many positive responses. Because some of them, when they were out in the world, nobody taught them. And that's how I can understand it, okay? Because they're, you know, a lot of them that come from families that are from the 1940s. So they didn't know. So they have to go out and educate themselves.
But I know you're dealing with... And God has given you a special gift to deal with the people who are behind the bars. Do you let them know why they're behind the bars?
Oh, yes. When I get their profile, I know pretty much a lot of things about them. And a lot of them, instead of turning to the Bible, they turn to drugs, they turn to drinking, and out of depression, they got removed from society. And I tell them, get involved in a praise dance team. Start something, but make it God-related.
Do you deal with women or men?
Both.
Oh, okay. They allow you to go in there every weekend you go on into the prison system?
No, I don't go into it. Basically, I just write.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I've already been...
Ma'am?
Because I have had inmates that want to go to biblical college. They want to know how I started that up. I told them that that's a process, but I have started a discipleship, and one of my Christian mentors told me I can just go there and get the certificates for them, and I'm in the process of doing some books for them because... I'm a very humble person when it comes to teaching people about the Word of God, and I want to remain humble and still be sure of myself, but when I am teaching it to them, I want them to be able to understand it as if I am not there. But the ladies that's over the prison system for the men and also for the women. Some of them have Skype. So they were saying you can get on Skype and you can talk about the word of God on Skype and you can do it from your office and everything. Or you can come into the prison system 2 or 3 days out of the week and everything because I'm between now and the next 6 months, I have 3 books on God. One of them I have as a coloring book. The other one I have, like, pictures. And I just did, like, a lot of ingenious things in the body of Christ to make people. A picture is 1,000 words. I can say this is Noah's Ark, this is the Red Sea, and these are the people. And we can sit there and we can talk about it for 10, 15 minutes. And then I can question them about things and we can really elaborate on it. I can bring in films in there and I can tell them, you see what God did.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, wow. And then they can see it to this day. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Do you do Skype to Skype from inside the prison to where you are now? Because I have Skype.
I don't do it now.
I said, can you?
I am trying to get approval for it. Yes, that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Well, if we get that hooked up in the prison system, that would be awesome. I would be willing to set up a program where we can reach them. I would be willing to set up, if you were to set up a program. Let me look deeper into that through prayer. Because I know we're in the last days we're living in, and we got to reach the unreached and tell the untold. Jesus Christ is on his way back. He paid a price for our souls. He don't want no, and the only way you're going to come to God through him is you got to repent. You got to confess all your sins. Here I am, Lord Jesus. Wash me, purge me, make me, cleanse me, and take me to the Father. Because when he takes us to the Father said, because the enemy's right there, the devil's right there, and said, you're not letting Monica come up there. Why not? See all she's done and she did this, she did this. And God said, wait a minute. All I see is the blood. And that's all God looks for. He looks for the blood of his son over us. And I tell people, when you confess Jesus Christ, make sure that Jesus' blood covers you from the top of your head to the crown of your feet. So when you go to God, you will not be ashamed. Because God is an awesome God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, then, tell me about what you do for the women.
I treat the men and the women the same. Basically, I will write them and I will question them, do you have an interest in doing poetry? Do you have an interest in drawing? Because I can always use your talents and your gifts, and I will pay them $5 to $10 per poem. And I tell them that I'm in the production of my second book of poems, and I will put you in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were excited. Some of them send me 10 poems at a time. And I say, you bring me, send me anyone, as many as you want, just as long as it's God's name. And you're speaking about me with, in the goodness of God and Jesus Christ, because without him, he's not going to bless nor mess. And without him, we can do nothing.
Well, the whole thing that I've taken notice of, because in this hour we now live in, is credible. I don't have time to play with people. I'm a man of God. I'm about God's business. I don't have time to argue. I don't have to say I'm doing this. I'm doing one thing and one thing only, getting the best to know Jesus Christ. Because the more I know Jesus, the more he's going to take me to the Father. Because we sit at the right hand of the Father, I'll be able to sit right there with him. Wow. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, let me ask you this. I did some study not too long ago about, we got 42% of the people in prison, they're black. What do we do as blacks, skinned people? How do we get our black people to realize from A to Z, doing what you're doing must do this for you? Because what would you do? How would you handle that? How would you handle that?
We've had this conversation several times and everything, and I did not realize how many African-American men were incarcerated and everything, but it's a generational curse, okay? Who's there to teach them? Okay, it's something that's embedded in their, in your mind that you're this and you're that. Because, see, my sister was told by my mom that she was ugly, and I said, you know, you're not. You're not ugly. You are smart. You are beautiful because God didn't create no junk. And something even with the men, it's a thing in patience. And there's a lot of power with patience. If you can sit in that prison cell for 5 to 10 years out of your life, lose your dignity. Once you've lost your dignity, there's nothing else. When you get out, come on. You can't tell me that. You are happy. Somebody telling you how to get up every morning, okay? If we can reach them through Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that we need a church 5 miles from each other. Okay? What I am saying is that we need to be able to reach them through papers, through YouTube. We need to be all over YouTube, okay? We need to be having concerts once a month, gospel concerts once a month. We need to have their kids doing praise dances, okay? We need to do things that are spiritual, even if they're musical. Because we need to be more in the arts than what the secular people are. And I think that that's a big thing, too. Because I talk to African-American men, they're not incarcerated, but their parents are. And I said, well, I'm happy that you got out of there. He said, yes, I did. And then I took him around with him for 2 hours. And I said, well, let's listen to 89.3. There are a lot of people that are in the entertainment business, and they want to be with me. So if you want to be in my company, I want to listen to 89.3, which is a gospel session, and they're like, I am so happy that I met you. They say, I pray about everything. And I say, well, you know, you're a rapper. You have a nice voice, a nice presence. Do some gospel rap. Rap about the goodness of God.
Well, let me ask you this. What if the Bible says that the curse has been broken, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Read, if you got your Bible right quick, go to Galatians 3 and verses 10, 11, 12 through to 15. Because some people might be hearing this that don't know what you and I know. We want to help them. So if you got your Bible, would you turn to that, please? Galatians.
Sure.
Okay, that's in the New Testament. That's right out the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Because the God we serve is an awesome God. And see, what God
okay,
wants, he wants none. Ma'am?
You say Galatians?
Galatians, the third chapter, verses 11.
Uh-huh.
Go to verses 10 through 15. And read,
okay.
Please.
For as many as are on the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the first shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, speaking the matter of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it.
Amen. That's when people get saved. We let them know immediately. You and I let them know immediately. You're no longer under the curse. The curse has been, Jesus broke the curse when he gave his body. But because some black preachers and black teachers were not even mount up the fact that the curses don't belong. The curse was done, but Jesus Christ came along and he became a curse for us. So I don't have to worry about being cursed. People say, you got a curse on us. No, you ain't got no curse on me. You ain't got no curse on me because God has blessed me. He has blessed me through Jesus Christ. The curse has been, it was taken by Jesus Christ. But see, in that same scripture, I walk by faith. I believe God is through faith. Amen?
Yes.
And what God does for us, God brings it to our attention. And you're a great teacher. You tell the people, you're under the curse no longer. Don't even look. See, some things you got to pull down. Some people don't want to stop drinking. Some people don't want to stop smoking. Some people want to do what they want to do. But until they come to realize they're no longer under the curse, that the curse has been broken 2,000 years ago, broken by Jesus Christ. When he hung on Calvary, out there, one day, high noon, he stood between earth and heaven, stood in the midst of two thieves, one on the right, one on the left. One said, oh, he's a great God. Why don't he come on down and save us? And the other one said, this man has done nothing wrong. Why do you do what you do? And that man said, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, will you remember me? And the Bible says in Luke, John, Matthew, this day, not tomorrow, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. What was paradise? Here again we go to Abraham. The bosom was in Abraham because Abraham was a keeper of a place that God has set up for all of us to believe. It comes from the point of believing. The curse was broken, hallelujah, when Jesus spilled his last blood on Calvary. He took his blood, the Holy Ghost and Jesus took his blood back to the mercy seat and put it on the mercy seat. And that's why the curse was broken. See, no longer will the devil tell me, oh, no, I'm not poor, I'm rich. I'm rich. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. You just got to receive it. You got to receive that. I mean, all the negative things that you've been told in life because you're not 6 foot tall, because of your body weight, because of your education, because of your appearance, you have to believe that Jesus Christ can use you just the way you are. Because, see, what they don't understand is that God put your mother and your father together. Okay? He knew you before. He knows your actions before you were even born because he's your creator. Okay? You are in prison, so I tell them, you are locked up, but you're not locked down. Nothing's wrong with your mind. You probably can't go to Rice University and study calculus, but you can go to the library and study basic mathematics. Who knows 4 or 5 years from now what you're going to be doing? Why are you there in prison? You can come out and be bona fide. You can go to a college
and
check out.
We have to get that thing into a God level. Not the world level, to a God level. See, because I'm the oldest of 14 children. My mother birthed into this world. 7 sisters and the rest were brothers. And I was the oldest. But I saw the time when we didn't have food. We had nothing. We were poor. We were talked about, put down. But people say you won't. But I said, I will. I don't know about the rest of my sisters and brothers, but I know what God told me. That's why I am where I am, because I believe in what God says. I ain't going to let no white man, black man, red man, yellow man, blue man, purple man. No, no, no. I'm going to stand along with you, Monica, with the word of God. We're going to stand flat foot and say, thus saith the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Monica? It's been a blessing being on the radio with you, and we look forward to you again next Thursday night at the same time. The Lord bless you, okay?
Yes, Dr. Hunter, thank you for being a blessing to me, because the more you inspire me, the word of God, I can take that zeal that I have and carry on and capture those souls in prison, and I can burn that stinking thinking in their mind. Thank you.
Amen.
And God bless your gospel ministry.
Amen. So if there's anyone out there that listened to us and have heard the word, and you desire to come to Jesus Christ, we extend to you an invitation to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We will pray with you. We will sing with you. We will just give adoration to God for all the things, because I want you to do this. When you go back again, I got a couple of others I'm going to send to you, some people that you with. And I want them to know there's a man out there praying for them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hello, my sister. How you doing? Hello? Hello?
I'm
Hello?
Here. Can you hear me? Hi,
yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay,
yes.
I'm here. All right. I've been enjoying the message, and I can really concur. It's about the change, and it's about the accepting what God has put into place for us. We were the sinner, the wretch, undone. But I thank God that he loved us enough that he would give up part of himself and come to this sinful world and be a bridge for us to get back to him, our creator. And with that being said, I like Romans. This is my personal preference. I love Romans 12:1-2, simply because it's a pathway that we can take towards the things that we need to do that are pleasing to God and pleasing to Jesus, and definitely not messing with the Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
King James Version reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm just going to deal with that part first before I deal with verse 2. Now, Paul is saying here that when he says, I beseech you, he's begging you. Can you imagine that when somebody begs you, what they really mean and what they're trying to get? They're trying to get you on their side. Come, go with me. And just like Paul is telling us that God, through Jesus Christ, wanted us to come to him, so is the devil out there busy saying also, come to me. How does he say, come to me? Lord says, come to me with love. I am love. So I loved you. Come to me. I'm begging you. I know I created you, but I gave you two wills, the permissive or the divine and the permissive will. So in other words, God is not no monster. He's not going to pressure you to choose him. He wants you to love him enough that you would choose him on your own. And so with that being
Amen.
Said again, why do we choose wrong instead of right? Why? Why we can look trouble in the face and go that way instead of going to the highway of protection that God has for us? Why does our Creator have to beg us, you know? And he's merciful as he does it. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving. He's patient. He's tolerant. There are just so many words that we can use that would depict God but never encompass him all, because he is infinite, so we cannot. But we can understand the principles that he wants us to have, and that is to live a righteous life, to live in pleasing unto him, and that it's a body under a living sacrifice. No, we don't have to go get cows and whatever and cut them open and drain the blood and put them on the altar and pray amiss. We can pray definitely what we want to pray for, to whom we pray. Sit back and watch God move. Sit back and wait on God to answer your prayer request. Your body, a living sacrifice, is to keep your temple. Your body is the temple of God, to keep it holy, righteous. Of course, we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, but the blood of Jesus has justified us. It has put us in a right relationship with God the Father. And that means that we will not allow anything to enter our natural body and our spiritual body, because we have to be concerned with our spiritual body as well as our natural body. Of course,
there's
food to feed naturally. You need food, you need water. But spiritually, you need the Word of God. You need to get into your Bible and have quiet time with the Lord, study His Word, meditate on it, and then sit back and say, God, what are you saying to me in this scripture? There cannot be scriptures that are just something that you have learned to quote. They must be scriptures that you apply to your life, you apply to your heart, and you want to make that change. You want to make right decisions. You want to accept. I heard it said about the thief on the cross. We deserve to be where we are. But Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. It doesn't take 10 hours of prayer. It can only take a few words sometimes. Lord, remember me. Remember me. I'm on this cross because I deserve to be here. Jesus, you on this cross, and you did not deserve to be here. But love placed you here. And always when Jesus talked, he pointed to the Father. I am here to do my Father's will. And if you are here to do the Father's will, then you will listen, or as they say, reason together. Reason together that the Word of God is truth. It's living, it's powerful, it can change, it can, not the word change, but it can change you. Let me clear that up.
Yeah.
The word does not change, but it will make a change in your life. It should make a change in your life. And so if we understand this and understand that we serve or we believe in a holy God, he's not a God that cannot see. He's not a God that cannot feel. He's not a God that does not have feet. He is everywhere at the same time. We can't do that. But he's a God with compassion and mercy, and I thank God that he loved me enough that he would send his son. And I'm reminded in Psalms where it says, I can't go anywhere to hide from God. I can't go anywhere. Where can I go? Shall I go to hell? You're there. Can I ascend into heaven? You're there. Where can I go? I can't go anywhere without the presence of God there. And this is your. This should be the desire of your heart, to be in the presence of the Lord. And the word says, how can you do this? You must do it with the Spirit. The natural man does not understand the things of God. The natural man, he wants to rationalize stuff. He wants to put it in a square and a box. And I heard it said about college and knowledge and getting it in your head. But if you don't get it in your spirit, your head is no good. You have educational sense, intellectual sense, but you have no spiritual awareness, and you are spiritually dead. Dead. Walking around dead. They like to say zombies. We can identify with zombies. It's the walking dead. Well, you are walking dead if you're living and you're not living for the Lord. And so Paul encourages you here that you need to consider yourself. Consider what the word of God says. Consider it and understand that God's mercy is cast over you right now. God's mercy. Oh, all I can say is hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace, because your grace covers me. It gives me a new look. I'm covered with the blood. And the Bible says that without the shedding of the blood, there would be no remission of sin. What is remission? Confessing my sins, repenting or turning away from my sins, and accepting the plan that God has in place, which is his son, Jesus Christ. And then we want to look at verse 2 of Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, do not take on the shape of the world. The world, it might be light outside, but it's dark. So you don't want to shape up to what the world says. God says, be fruitful and multiply. Man says, take you the pill, go have an abortion, do whatever. But God says, be plentiful and multiply. This is a direct contradiction. Man and the world says one thing, God says another. Who do you want to follow? That's a question for you. You have to answer it. You have to make that decision. And it says, be not conformed to this world. This world is the world that we're living in. But there's another world, another universe, where we're going to live spiritually forever and ever and ever. This flesh is going to die. It's going to die, but your spirit is going to live on. Where do you want your spirit to live? With weeping and gnashing of teeth and, you know, unbearable conditions? Or do you want to live in the peace and the harmony with your Creator? The choice, again, is yours. And then it says, but be ye transformed. In other words, look, you got a choice what you want. It says, be ye transformed. How are you going to get transformed? No, this is not those transformers that you pull apart and shake up and they're this way one time and you twist their wings and they're another way. No, we don't want to be transformed into some kind of hideous creature that they have our children playing with. Oh, mommy, can I have a transformer? Well, no. God says, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Your mind will get your heart right. Change your thoughts. Change the way you look at things. The old folks used to say, I looked at my hands and they looked new. My feet looked brand new. No, they did not have feet changed or hands changed or eyes changed. They just decided that they will accept Jesus Christ, and they made that commitment that I won't hang out at the club. I won't lie on my friends. I won't be envious and jealous. I won't have anger and malice in my heart. It means that I have had a positive change in my mind that has affected my heart, and my heart has affected my mind. And so I don't look the way that I used to. I want to look through the eye of love, because that's what God looks through, love. He loves us so much. And when he looks at his son's blood, he sees love for his creation, love for me, love for those that had accepted his plan of salvation. Love, love, love. I have a song. Love lifted me. Oh, yes, it did. It lifted me when I couldn't do anything for myself. And it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can prove it just by lining up with the Word of God. And I like renewing because it's an ing word, and we know that means continuing, ongoing. It does not stop. So that means if I get something today, praise God. Tomorrow it might be something else that's embedded in my, praise God. It's a continuing process. This sanctification is not something that you have today and it's gone tomorrow or the next 2 weeks or whatever. When you sanctify yourself or set yourself apart for God's work, then you will line up. You will be justified. For those out there that work on typewriters and computers and know how to format a document, you either left margin it, right margin it, center margin it, or you justify it, meaning that you make all the words and the letters end up within the margins side by side. And this is what God has done for us. He has justified us. When we couldn't do it for ourselves, God did it. The blood of Jesus did it. The blood. It's all in the blood. And I tell everybody, and I know people have said this to you too, if you cut me and you cut the other person, they're going to bleed the same way in the same color blood. There's no difference in the blood, I thank God. That cleansing blood that has power to change lives, that has the power to heal the sick, has power to raise the dead, has power to give sight to the blinded, has power to cast demons and devils out of you, has power to tread on lions. That blood allows you to go, as Star Trek said, where no other man can go. You can go with God. You can go with God. And it does not take a two-hour prayer. Sometimes it's just, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And God is so good because he gives us the good, the bad, the ugly, the misfit, or whatever. David was a man after God's own heart. Did David live that perfect life? No, he didn't. But his heart was like God. His heart was for the people. His heart was love. He had love and respect. Although he messed up big time, yes, he did. But when he realized that he had messed up, he went before God. And he said, God, purge me. That's a horrible whooping to be purged. But he said, purge me with hyssop. I don't care what you have to do to take this stain of sin away from me. Do it, God, because I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder my relationship with you. And that's the way we need to be today. Very dogmatic. I want to live for God. I'm not going to allow you to enter my space and disrupt my peace. I'm not going to allow it. And amen. Even for myself, I have children, one especially that smokes like a factory, as they say. When he comes here, he cannot smoke. You have got to take a stand for what goes on in your house. I don't care what habit somebody else has. You do not have to befriend it. Stand guard. God is giving you that authority and power. Stand guard. Rebuke the enemy. No. You think your house is so much? No, I don't. But I respect myself, and you will respect me. Say that. When you've had the changing of the mind and the changing of the heart, you can say those things to anybody. I stand for God. Joshua say, ask for me and my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. You can go left Amen. If you want to. You can go right if you want to. But I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to stand on the solid ground. I'm going to stand with Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to be ashamed to tell the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to boldly proclaim his word, his love, his peace, his power, his truth. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to stand on the mountaintop. They might have taken prayer out of the school. They might have taken it out of the workplace, but they can't take it out of me. When I walk, I am that living epistle. When I walk, I am God-focused. Do I make mistakes? Yes, I do. I am not perfect, but I'm perfect in him. I am justified in him. He took all of my hang-ups, my mess-ups, and he lined them up with the blood. That blood is so important. So, so very important. And you need to realize the power that it has. And, of course, we're coming up on Palm Sunday, a very, very important day in the life of the believer, because it is the day that our Savior came in on the mule and they laid the leaves down for him because he was getting ready. Hallelujah. So we've gotten away, a lot of the believers, from saying Easter Sunday. It's not Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday was a pagan holiday that the authority rulers made it come up with our Resurrection Sunday. So it was there to confuse people and think that it's about the Easter bunny or the rabbit. Oh, that's the bunny, right? I'm sorry. The eggs and the candies and the little baskets. Do you know how much money the world makes on candy? Little pretty dresses and shoes. Where has Christ gone out of Resurrection Sunday? Where has Christ gone? In Revelation, he's on the outside of the door, knocking to come in. Our Creator is on the outside of the door, asking us to come in and sup with him. That is pretty bad for us. So what are we going to do today? Today, April whatever, 2014, what are we going to do today to help this society, to help my fellow man or fellow brethren, that's male or female? What am I going to do? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. If you see your brother overtaken in a fault, the words say, you that are strong, you go to him. You go to him. Do I go embarrassing him, saying, hey, you're doing all of this, and hey, you know, I'm going to tell this. No. You got to know how to talk to people, because how you speak to people is your witness. Your witness is either I'm for the Lord and I'm being meek and humble as Jesus was, although he didn't tolerate everything. He was just meek and humble to show us how we need to be, how we should live, to show us
Amen. Who
we should speak. And so in my last few minutes, let me just say a brief prayer, and that is that if there's anyone out there that is listening and do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I want to offer him to you right now. I can't save you. I have no heaven or no earth to put you in, but I do want to offer you Jesus Christ. He is there for you. And Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's just that simple to accept Jesus Christ as your. You can't wait till you get right, because you will never get right. So I'm offering Jesus Christ to you. I'm going to pray that the Lord will touch your heart and your mind, that you will want to make that decision this day, tonight. So Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We give you glory and honor. We reverence your holy and your righteous name. God, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. We confess to you now, each and every one. God, you know, if I try to name them, God, I'm going to miss something. So, God, you know. So I ask that you forgive me, and I thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you because I know that according to your word, that if I was to confess them, Lord, that you are faithful and just to forgive me. So now, God, I come before you on whomever is in my listening ear, God. If they don't know you, God, in a personal way, God, I'm asking that you manifest yourself to them, Lord, that they will want to make a decision today, Lord, that Christ is the way and there is no other way. God, I thank you in advance for those that are going to be saved. God, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word tonight. I thank you for Dr. Hunter, Lord, and KS Radio, God. I ask that you continue to bless that ministry, Lord. Bless it, Lord, with overflow and abundance, Lord, of whatever he needs, because he is truly a faithful worker for you, God. He is that living example, Lord. So you just strengthen him, encourage him, bless his home, bless his station, bless all that are in attendance and that are listening. And, God, I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you. I say holy, holy, holy is you, is your name, is you. And so this is Minister Brenda from RSGAC Ministries saying, God bless you, God keep you until we come together again. Good night.
Good night. You got a word to say, Brenda?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I'm here to listen, but I want to take the time to you and say, for your first time coming on this radio station, it was a blessing. I just love what God did for you through you, and that may be somebody on the line that will have a word to encourage you, something to say to you. But I'll tell you, we at this radio station, I thank God for the prayer. I had to bow my head and say, Lord, it's all about you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's much to be done, much needs to be done.
Yes.
And those who can work together. God can put us together,
yes.
Not next door, but together.
Yes, yes.
We do this together. We gather together because the time
yes,
is at hand. What we have an attitude, it's important. And
yes.
The more Jesus transforms us into his kingdom, the more we can let some other people know that he can do it. Since the transformation.
Yes.
And anybody else that listens, I'm going to open the line up so we can have a word. And I'm just happy tonight. I've been here listening. I am just H-A-P-P-Y in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else got a word they want to say? Have something the Lord to lay on the heart. If not, we're going to say, as I always say, I'll wait a few moments here. Anybody got a word to say? I love you. I love you.
I love you.
And I love you.
I love you.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. Ain't nothing
not
you can
now.
Do about it. So until the next time, the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank
to God
you,
be the glory.
Yes, Lord. You're worthy. Hallelujah. You're worthy
He's
to be
true.
Praised, God. You're worthy, God.
He's
you're
true.
Worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. And if anybody don't know they blessed, take a breath of air. If anybody don't know they blessed, think about the fact that they woke up this morning. Hallelujah. With a reasonable portion of their health and strength. God is good and good all the time and worthy to be praised. The word says, and I'll be through my last, Dr. Hunter, I'm just going to say this. I will. If nobody else wants, I will. I will bless the Lord at all times. And
all
his praises shall continually be in my mouth.
Be I'm on the same boat. And I'm thankful to God once again. But I'm going to put on some tapes that I've been praying. It's by Kenneth Hagin. And it's called me to get some strength. And if you just give ourselves 5 or 10 minutes in here, okay?
Yes, sir.
I want
yes,
to
sir.
God is to. Amen.
Amen.
So here we go.
Okay.
D63H.
Can you
hear?
Healing scriptures. Sir, yes, sir. I hear it.
You can hang up in the time you want to, but listen. You said 5 minutes.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said. So it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7, 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15, 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none, or permit none, of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30, 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33, 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy life break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147, 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. and then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, are able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made us sure of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish him in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. and commanded that something should be given her. Then Mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. When they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Then Mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed for him. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, I'm a child. And oftentimes it is cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, And he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up far to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse. And he came down with and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John, the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, imposing in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grew up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things are beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondered. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached to Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to him. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the invoked of man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you holy. This is the stone which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is thy salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, and now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, or the margin reads, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast in profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Joel chapter 3, verse 10, let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians chapter 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the bots of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a bricks thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall be, which thou knowest not, eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore body that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out on the field, shalt gather but little in from the locusts of the sheep. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy land, but thou shalt anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, and all thy gates, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the seeds and straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith I shall fear it, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. Ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now then I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, and reading the whole chapter, Galatians. Who has bewitched ye that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then, serve of the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee till thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. There are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore, you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness, or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ is redeeming me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. Specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again. And then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from, and specify your sickness.
Concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station B, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.